May it please the court, my name is Ethan Skaggs. I'm an assistant federal public defender with the Southern District of Illinois. I'm here today on behalf of appellant Mr. Starko. We are presenting to the court a single issue in our appeal, that single issue being a procedural error we're claiming from the sentencing hearing in this matter. We are not stating that the district court improperly calculated the guidelines. We're not stating that the district court assumed that the guidelines or treated them as mandatory. Our position is based upon one of the main arguments we presented, the court should have considered it and that the record does not reflect that it was considered.
Now, the judge addressed at some length the two objections Starko had made in writing to the PSR, right?
Yes.
As well as the asserted mental illness that counsel said at sentencing was Starko's principal reason for requesting a lower sentence, and asked many questions about it. You agree with that?
It was very detailed and thorough going over
right.
the mental health issues.
So why were the few lines about civil commitment something that the judge explicitly needed to mention?
Your Honor, if you look at the cases that talk about a primary argument, a main argument, where someone is seeking a variance from the guidelines, as what we were doing in this situation. We were asking for 20 years in a situation where the guidelines said 30. Yes, the main argument was addressed. However, that secondary argument that came on later, when the trial attorney noted that the government had been talking about protection of the public, that's where he came in and said, well, if you're thinking about protection of the public, the trial attorney noted the Sexually Dangerous Persons, the Commitment Act, noted that in that circumstance, of course, someone in these sex offenses, while they're in prison, are evaluated, they're examined, and if they're determined to be dangerous, they are not released.
But the possibility of civil commitment is only a possibility, right? It's not a guarantee. And even in the hearing itself, there has to be a certification that the person is a sexually dangerous person. So it's a possibility that that finding would be made or not be made. And so, it's not a form of punishment.
We're presenting it from the standpoint of protection of the public.
Right.
If the thinking of the court was, I have to come up with a set amount of years to take you off the street to make people safe, our position was, look at the civil commitment. That is an issue.
Well,
you're not going to get out.
Yeah, of course, you weren't committing for Mr. Starko that he would concede that in 20 years that he was sexually dangerous and should be committed. That would have to be alleged and proved beyond a reasonable doubt. I think wouldn't he be entitled to a jury trial on that issue as well?
I believe it would have to be clear and convincing. I don't know.
Clear and convincing?
Reasonable doubt.
In any event, it wasn't a certainty by any means. It was fairly speculative.
It is not certain at all.
And you're kind of looking at it in a singular way, that is, protection of the public. Certainly that is an issue, but there's also the question of the appropriate punishment for the offense that was committed. That's a factor the judge has to consider, that is not an issue at the civil commitment phase.
We would agree with that, Your Honor.
So there's there's more going on than just the singular concern.
We would note in this particular case, the district court, that was the main thing with the district court. Actually, the government said protection of the public. The district court throughout was protection of the public. Judge Herndon noted that the sentence options that he was being presented, whether it was the 20 years we asked for, the 40 years the government asked for, or even the Sentencing Commission recommendation of 30 years, were all, as I think he put it, a serious sentence. So the question becomes with Mr. Starko, who had these mental health issues that were finally getting addressed, at what point, how many years do we have to do for protection of the public? Obviously, there is, of course, the issue of punishment. And our position was 20 years is enough for the punishment because we know with these commitments, if he goes to the proceedings or if the Bureau of Prisons says he doesn't have a problem now, especially if you think about it, as 20 years passes, he's getting these mental health issues treated, then at that point, they might release him.
So virtually any of these sentences really ought to be shortened on the potential that the offender could be a sexually violent person at the conclusion of their sentence, right? Isn't that where your argument goes?
I anticipate, of course, the court would say, when you're saying that anyone facing a sex offense would have this argument.
Right, and anyone who faces these kind of charges would.
And I would suspect if we were successful in that, everyone that represents one of these clients is going to present that argument. Our argument is strictly from the standpoint of our case with Mr. Starko, where he had the mental health issues that had not been addressed, that he had been untreated, something that just came to light. Throwing that in with the civil commitment, we're not worried about everyone else. We're worried about Mr. Starko.
So what would you want the district court to find, or what would you want the district court to do? Where should we send this back? What would you want the district court to do? To just say more about civil commitment and say something like the civil commitment is a possibility, not a certainty. There's been no agreement that he's going to stay in custody once his term is ended, and so therefore I'm going to sentence him to the amount of time I want to give him, 30 years or whatever. Is that what you – I mean, I'm also trying to figure out what more the district court would have done.
We would ask that the district court address the issue of the civil commitment from the standpoint of taking into account that we have these issues of mental health that were found after he was arrested. You have to remember in this case, it was his trial attorney that really got the ball rolling on these issues. Met with this guy, realized when he had previously been in the Madison County Jail on the state charges, they were medicating him. He went to Alton and wasn't getting that. Mr. Kavanaugh made calls and did work on this to get him the medication, which then after he got him the medication is when he sent him to Dr. Cuneo for the psychological exam. We would ask the district court to look at that factor of him getting treatment and the fact that he'll be in prison for 20 years getting treatment and where these issues are going to be addressed for 20 years. And then at the end of the 20 years, if there's an issue, the Bureau of Prisons is going to say this man's dangerous and start their proceedings. So we are asking to have that issue addressed.
Reading the district court's remarks at sentencing, isn't there a clear indication in the district court's language, though, that he thought there was a significant element of intentionality involved in this crime? And yes, this man had mental health issues, but he wasn't sure that was the heart of the matter. He was going to give this man a good long sentence because he thought, in fact, there was that element of intentionality.
The district court absolutely described this conduct, I believe, as I'm forgetting one of the other descriptions, but very direct, that yes, that there was no doubt that he knew what he was doing, that he was fit, but his what he addresses on the record are the issues of protection of the public.
Shows that a degree of intentionality, protection of the public would come to any judge's mind, I think, very quickly.
With what Mr. Starko was convicted of, protection of the public is probably going to come to everyone's mind under this case. Judge, if I'd like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Richter or Reiter?
Richter. May it please the court. The district court sentencing decision was procedurally sound in this case. The district court considered defendant's arguments in mitigation, including the sexually dangerous argument, before sentencing the defendant to 360 months. The district court weighed the need in this particular case to protect the public against the 20-year sentence advocated by the defendant, combined with his mental health issues, in deciding that a guideline sentence range was appropriate.
Well, with the civil commitment process a potential safeguard to protect the public, why isn't that a non-frivolous argument that we should be sure the judge addressed?
Well, Your Honor, there's no,
fully addressed,
as,
I guess
as you stated earlier, there's no guarantee that the defendant here would be civilly committed. He committed a hands-on offense that this judge was particularly concerned about, and there's no, it's only a possibility, not a guarantee, at the end of 20 years that he would not be released with these mental health issues. The district court judge, on the record, did reference both the sentence requested by the defendant of 20 years and the mental health issue separately before deciding that 30 years was necessary in this case to protect the public. I think you can read into that that the district court determined that 20 years was not sufficient to guarantee protection of the public. In addition, there was no specific application of this argument to this defendant. The court spent significant time going over the mental health issues of the defendant, going over the nature and circumstances of this particular offense, but there were no specifics provided as to how this civil commitment issue would apply to Mr. Starko in this case. The court simply could recognize that either he's going to be committed at the end of 20 years or he's not, and determine on its own whether that is sufficient to protect the public. And in this case, the judge determined that 30 years was necessary to protect the public after hearing this argument.
Mr. Richter, we have several cases today in where it's alleged or argued to us that the sentencing judge did not address with a sufficient degree of specificity the a particular argument made by defense counsel. We obviously haven't given the bench and bar sufficient guidance in this area. How ought we to fashion a rule, an approach, so that, in effect, we're not getting every sentencing case up here on the idea that the district judge missed something? We're getting an awful lot of these right now. What's wrong with our rule? How can we make it better?
Well, I think particularly in this case, the main argument was the mental health issues, and that was addressed. The argument regarding civil commitment was kind of a secondary argument in addition to the mental health issues.
Oh, but that's why my question and about was it a the question for me is it a non-frivolous argument? Following along the lines that Judge Ripple said, you know, trying to decide what's the best rule. I mean, it seems to me this was a non-frivolous argument. It might not have been the primary argument. It was a secondary argument. And why wasn't that non-frivolous, and why shouldn't it have been addressed?
Well, I don't think it may have been a non-frivolous argument, but it's not something that the court here needed to specifically address.
Was it an argument within an argument?
It was an argument within an argument. It was a response to the government's assertion that 40 years was needed to protect the public, and it was an argument within the mental health argument.
So it's sufficiently clear that the district court was oriented to the fact that this man had a mental health problem.
Yes. The district court spent a significant amount of the sentencing hearing discussing the mental health issues.
So the question is what should be the judge's reaction to that problem? One of the possible remedies is we'll give him a lower sentence and keep your fingers crossed that the commitment situation works out later on. And your argument, I guess, or your view would be, well, that's just one of several ways the district court might want to remedy this, so the district judge need not give this a tremendous amount of public discourse.
Correct. In this case, judge and counsel just want to...
You got to fix that. That doesn't happen all over the country.
Could
you make a point, please, to ask the IT manager to look into that and fix that? These are being used throughout the country. Doesn't cause that problem.
In this case, Judge Herndon specifically, throughout his 3553A analysis, emphasized protection of the public, and he specifically mentioned the 20-year sentence that was requested by the defendant. He specifically mentioned the mental health issues separately, and he determined that that was insufficient and that 30 years was needed in this case based on the advice of the Sentencing Commission. So he did, on page 84, make a separate reference to defendant's argument for a 20-year sentence. He didn't separately parse out the civil commitment issue, but the only options under the civil commitment issue is to believe that that's appropriate and that at the end Mr. Starko would be evaluated and that 20 years would be sufficient punishment, or that at the end of the 20 year, that 20 years is insufficient and he needs more time to protect the public.
I suppose this is a little bit like if there were a state detainer against Mr. Starko pending at the time of sentencing, and another jurisdiction had an interest, potential interest in him. And so the defense argues, well, Judge, you only need to give him 20 years because then Wyoming will take him and prosecute him for those offenses. Now, so if the judge doesn't comment on that, is that a problem?
It's not particularly a problem, especially here we're at the end of 20 years. We don't know what's going to happen. What we can infer from the record is that this district court judge heard the argument, considered the argument, referenced the 20-year sentence, and did not believe that at the end of 20 years that it was an acceptable position to put Mr. Starko possibly back into the public, that we should take the risk that at the end of 20 years he's not going to be civilly committed, that 30 years was necessary, particularly given that Mr. Starko committed, in this case, two hands-on offenses in a one-week period. So the district court particularly focused on protecting the public here and found that 30 years, specifically a guideline range sentence here, was necessary. And it was within his discretion.
Did he say anything about the uncertainty of civil commitment?
He did not specifically say anything about the uncertainty of civil commitment. The only thing he referenced several times was the defendant's argument for 20 years. Whether I give the sentence requested by the defendant, the sentence requested by the government, or the sentence requested by the guidelines. On page 84 of the transcript, he does specifically reference separately the sentence requested by the defendant and his mental health issues, and then compares that to the advice of the Sentencing Commission. He says vis-a-vis the advice of the Sentencing Commission, and then he determines that 30 years, a guideline range sentence, is necessary in this case and rejects the defendant's advocacy of the 20 years. I think you can infer from that that the district court disagreed with the 20-year civil commitment and found that that would be insufficient to protect the public. If there's no further questions, the United States respectfully requests this court affirm the defendant's sentence.
Thank you, counsel. How much time does he have left? 1 minute. Mr. Skaggs.
Your Honor, as the records stand, it's our position that you cannot determine how the judge considered the issue of the civil commitment. As the record stands, what we have before us, I mean, it was passed over in silence. He didn't reference in any way the civil commitment statutes. We don't know if it was considered and then rejected. We don't know if it was ignored. We're not saying that the court needs to address every single argument, but when we put forth a specific argument asking for a downward variance from the guidelines, if that is one of our main reasons, we're asking that be addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.